I know you know. You ever hear that term, that phrase, you know? Hey, did you know? Or, oh yeah, I know. I know about that. Well, I want to talk about that tonight. Knowing. And you know, if I would have picked out the songs, I couldn't have done any better job. Thank you, brother. Those songs are right to the point of the lesson tonight. Every one of them, if we went back and took a look at them. But to press on here, knowing is not enough. We must apply. The dumbest people I know are the people who know it all. The first step towards knowledge is to know that we're ignorant. See, there's nothing wrong with being ignorant. We think that as a diss. You know, somebody says, well, you're just ignorant. Well, yeah, I am. I'm ignorant about a lot of things. Knowledge is a treasure, but practice is the key to that treasure. An investment in knowledge always pays the best interest. Knowledge is only potential power. As for me, all I know is I know nothing. Kind of reminds me of Sergeant Schultz on Hogan's Heroes. You know, give him a candy bar and that's all it took. Knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers. Knowledge is power. A man of knowledge lives by acting, not by thinking out about acting. So it's action. All of these quotes are by famous people down through history. I didn't want to take the time to go through it all, so I just cut them that. But you could look them all up, and they're all by famous people. True knowledge lies in knowing how to live. So tonight I want to talk about getting to know God. Getting to know God. Life is filled with uncertainties and doubt. Frequently. Let's just stop and think about it. See, a year ago, in January, well, around Christmas time, our brother Pete wasn't feeling well. In January 11th, Pete and Marilyn got the word from the doctor that he had stage 4 cancer. And if you recall, our brother Pete was taken from us in May. And we miss him dearly. But if we can, and I talked with Marilyn about this morning, and she said she was proud that I would use Pete as an example. And so she should be, amen? See, what's normal? If I was to ask Lee tonight, Lee, how you doing? And he'd say, well, you know, D's just running me ragged. Or however it might be. What is normal? If I ask, how are you? You say, I'm doing okay. Okay, well, if that's normal, what's abnormal? Would you consider that our brother Jeff is abnormally doing right now? See, I don't. I don't see it that way. And the reason I don't see it that way, I'll share with you a little later on here. What about me? Last April 28th, the doctor on the 27th gave me a checkup, and she said, Bill, you're in the best health you've ever been in. Your weight is down. I know, I've put on some since then. She said, your blood pressure's down, you're off all of your medications, and you're just doing great. The next night, I had my heart attack. So what is normal? What is doing okay? The fact that we get a note from our doctor that says you're in good shape? This last Tuesday, my fellow brother was riding scooters with me. And we went up 410 and we turned left there at the AMPM and the Dairy Queen. And we couldn't have been going more than 15 or 20 round in the corner. And his tire just clipped the curb on that island that sticks out into the radius. He was in the hospital. He got to come home yesterday. Last night he had to go back. His life was going fine. No waves or ripples in the water. It was just clicking along fine. Yesterday, Corey and Stacy's neighbors an older couple that, about my age, they had a Can-Am, and we've been riding with them before, and yesterday they were coming down from Chinook Pass. They took a corner, went a little wide, right into a big boulder. Now she's bleeding from the brain. He's got 4 broken ribs. His pelvis is broken in 2 places. Their life was just on top of the world. He was just telling me last week about how financially he's doing better than he ever dreamed. Everything is going well. So I wanted to bring these up for a reason. See, I'm doing fine. And if I was to ask Brother Jeff, I bet he'd tell you, or Cindy, they're doing fine too. It has nothing to do with the doctor's report. Because the great physician report, that's the one we care about, amen? All of us. But by the grace of God, there you go with a heart attack. Or there you go to the doctor for some little something and find out you've got something and been carrying it and had no idea. We are that close. We're a snap of a finger away from being in the same boat that I was, or that Jeff is, or that Brother Pete was, or that Brother Mike was when he hit the curbing up in Bonnie Lake. Any of us, at a moment's notice. It's why we must know God. If we know God, then we'll be able to know what our path is. I didn't say we'd know where our path takes us, but we will know where the path leads to. Amen? Right on, Brother Jeff? You betcha. You betcha. And so the way along the way is just the ride. And can you hang on? The only way we can do that is by knowing God. Okay? So let's look at Peter's view of this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know what the word righteousness means? It means the right doing. God promised something, and his righteousness is he'll what? He's going to carry it through. Is there anyone more righteous than our God? Not even. So we can count on it. Through his guaranteeing us, God's guaranteeing us to do the right, through Jesus Christ, we've received a faith as precious as ours. Peter says this, you ever wonder why people that are so equally blessed end up so different? Two people, they sat through the same sermon. One went away saying, wow, God really spoke to me. The other one goes away saying, I preached overtime again. Hello, there's your sign. Why the difference? Matthew 25, verses 15 to 30, is the parable about the servants. You know, the slothful servant, one he went and doubled the talents. The other one went and the one that handled it poorly went and hit him because he knew the master was hard on him. So we can use them or lose them. God gives us abilities and talents, and we can use them or lose them. And the fact is that the same thing with a lesson. Somebody goes out and says, wow, God spoke to me. I want to go use it. And one goes out saying, wow, that guy always, his voice is so monotone. Puts me to sleep. Paul's view of this in Colossians 3, 1 through 8, I'd like you to read with me. Since then, you have been, by the way, there's going to be a test when this is over. I'm giving you a heads up. It's a pop quiz. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, you know, like cancer and heart attacks and motorcycle crashes, you know. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Boy, can you imagine? Can you be safer in the arms of God? Come on. And it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. put to death, therefore. In other words, in light of all of this stuff in the first four verses, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, I mean, does that touch you? It touches me. As we're God's chosen people, holy, we're set aside and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another for if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds all these together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Ah, it's a great passage. Okay, well, I'm going to click off of this now. I'm warning you, and this is what the test is going to be on. So, okay. Now, Paul's view in Colossians 3, he said, don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices. The first thing we got to do, brothers and sisters, is get rid of the things that are holding us back. Put away those things, okay? We've got to take off the old self and its practices, and we then put on the new self. Before we can put on the new self, we got to take off the old self. Remind me of the old brother that was being baptized back on Josephine Street in Denver one time. The guy, we were having a gospel meeting, and the guy was going down into the baptistry, and he said, oh, I forgot my wallet. And the minister said, no, leave it in. We're going to get that too. And so, you know, we gotta put away the things that are holding us back and know that as a new person, we're all new, okay? Now, so remember, Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Look at the ways in which Christ emptied himself. He took on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of men. He humbled himself, even though the humbling of that, he even humbled himself further to the point of death, even death on the cross. Yes, we've got to empty ourselves. Oh, it didn't take. Okay, well, that was in Chinese up there. The greatest martial arts master in Japan was Gishin Funakoshi. He lived from 1868 to 1957. He was the originator of karate, and he was the one that was the master. And the story is told that one day, one of his better students, came to him and sat down at tea and was asking him. He said, Master, I have mastered every technique that you've shown me. I have achieved every height that I can achieve in martial arts. Now I want you to teach me about God. And Mr. Funakoshi took the teapot and he began to pour a cup of tea for his student. And he kept pouring, and pretty soon the teacup ran over. And the tea ran into the saucer. And the saucer ran over. And pretty soon it was running out onto the table. And then the student stopped, said, Stop! It's running over. What are you doing? And the great karate master told him, you are too full of yourself to have room for God. What a great thought. So we have got to empty ourselves so we're not too full of ourselves, so that then we can turn to God and say, okay, Lord, fill my cup. That's why they're... In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be filled. The mourning is having to do with the beatitude right before it. If we empty ourselves and give everything up, then we're ready to say, Lord, fill me up, and we have room for him. There's never a yeah, but. There's never, oh, I know. It's, Lord, what you would with me is what I want. And so whether it's cancer or a heart attack or injury or financial destitution, the same God is there that was there when you were doing well. So, fill my cup. Paul's view, we're going back where we left off, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed, our new self, which is being renewed, is a continuous action word. It's constantly being renewed. It is growing. It's not stagnant. But see, it's dependent upon being renewed, is dependent upon our knowledge. And if our knowledge, if we don't work at knowing God better, and I'm not talking about being able to quote Generations to Revolutions, okay? You can know the whole Bible cover to cover, and you can quote it cover to cover. That doesn't know anything necessarily. As you sing psalms, hymns, and spirituals, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, wisdom comes from knowledge, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Boy, did we do that tonight. Amen?
Amen.
See, and we have an attitude in your heart, one that says, oh, God has been so good to me. God has taken good care of me. Doesn't matter what my health is or isn't. My God is the same loving, caring, gracious God. And so there's no better response than for us to sing. Nothing like it. And then, as we go on here to conclude on Paul's view, God doesn't favor anybody over another. He said, we're all in this same boat. And he says, it's our getting to know God and our use of that knowledge that draws us closer to God. Look at Paul and Peter's worship, made it more rewarding, as he's able to say there. Finally, with gratitude in your hearts, don't we all appreciate an attitude of gratitude? I really appreciated Jeff's lesson this morning. I thanked him for his reminding us to be thankful. We need that. And we need to find ways and little cutesy ways to be reminded every morning. I was talking with a lady at the hospital this week, and she said that she's reminded every morning when she puts her feet on the floor. The feet on touching the floor is her reminder to thank God that she's up. And I said, that's a good way to do it. But it's got to have an attitude of gratitude. Instead of saying, I'm so sick, you know what? I am so thankful to God that he instructs me through my little granddaughter, Samantha. Samantha spent the first 6 months of her life almost in entirety in the hospital. And my daughter, Stacy, showed me what a mother's love really does. And that trooper just continues to plod on with a happy-go-lucky attitude as they poke her and prod her and put her through all sorts of things. And still got an attitude. She's thankful she's alive. And she knows that God's gonna have his way in this. And it's so encouraging. Our knowledge increases, brothers and sisters, with our faith. And somebody says, well, you know, my faith is just weak. I can't have the attitude that Jeff and Cindy do right now. I'm not that strong. Well, you know, we got to go back to the book then. You don't know God like you think you know God. But I'm at church every single time. The doors are open. Well, you know, sitting in a hen house won't make you a hen either. And so, you know, we've got to get on with getting to know God. Amen? Okay. You know, if you want to know about knowing God, you ask Cindy and Jeff to come over. There's somebody that knows God. Come and ask Mike about his heart attack. Ask one of the others here. Ask Marilyn about knowing God and being able to cope and go through things. Okay? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So there's a little formula here, okay? This would be like easy formula. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. K equals T. Okay, now, I know that you have no idea what that means. Come on, take a wild guess. Knowledge equals trust. The more you know God, the more you'll trust God. So if you have an issue here, you say, well, you know, I really don't think spiritually very much. Well, I guarantee you, you're going to have problems trusting God. Or you're over here and you say, well, I want to trust the Lord. Or you see somebody that is trusting the Lord, you say, they know their master. And so keep that in mind. 2 Peter 1, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So grace and peace. You know, these in today's world, I hate to say denominational world, but in today's religious world, there's words and phrases that are tossed about that really have very little meaning according to the way they're tossed around. Grace and peace. The word grace, you stop and think about God's grace and the peace of God that passes understanding. These are magnificently huge things. They're real. And they use this like some feeling. Romans 10, 1 and 2 says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for the Israelites, is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal isn't based on knowledge. We could have a band up here clanging and banging, making all kinds of racket. What does that really do for us? Jeff could preach a six-month series, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night too, and we not be any better off than when he began if we don't apply the knowledge that's in the message from God. Okay? Now, there's a weakness to the warm and fuzzy walk. Okay? Peter knew about it best in Matthew 14. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Well, come, he said. So Peter got down out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. See, everything was going fine when his eyes were on the Lord. When his trust was there, and he knew that God was there, and Christ was there, and he knew that he was on the water too, but he took his eyes off his goal here, took his eyes off of what he should have focused on. And when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I didn't live the life I should be living, and I got myself into a bind, and I found myself saying, Lord, help me! And I'm thankful there wasn't a voice from heaven saying, well, how did you get there, Bill? You know, it wasn't me that got you there. Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? See, the weakness of the warm and fuzzy walk, you feel warm and fuzzy. You get out in the world where the people are talking trash and the people are living like the devil. You find yourself, what? You don't want to speak up. You don't want to say anything. You might be ostracized. Will your anchor hold in the storm of life? And that right there is kind of a midpoint to my lesson point to stop and ask yourself, would your anchor hold in a storm of life? I'm so thankful. You know what? You look back at the Israelites in their day, and you see what happened, and you say, oh, man, I'd never do that. Or I really learned from that. Boy, I'm here to tell you, if we ever get manna from heaven, I'll be thankful for the manna. Yeah, right, Bill. Would your anchor hold in the storm alive? I'm thankful that God has blessed this congregation with Jeff and Cindy because of the example that God is giving all of us every single day. I'm thankful for Karen Bartle. And Joe, I'm thankful for many others. And I'm sorry if I'm not mentioning your trial. My brain doesn't keep them all like that. But there's lots of you that have been through challenges, are going through challenges right now. And all I can say is keep your eye on the Lord. Peter should have. Jeff and Cindy fight it every single day. You know, the thing I love about Sister Cindy so much is that she's just a plain Christian sister. She's not putting on any airs. She's just her. And she's not ashamed to confess to each and every one of us that she struggles with the storm in their life. That doesn't mean she doesn't trust God. I mean, she's a human being. And Satan is casting her about and thrashing her about. Why do you think Satan goes after people like the Clarks? Huh? In all kinds of things. And I'm sorry, Jeff and Cindy, to be hammering on you guys tonight. You know, I can give you a Bible verse for it. Satan was walking to and fro on the face of the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And God says, well, have you considered my servant, Jeff and Cindy? So, you built a fence around them. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have among us proofs that our God is alive. Amen? And it should be strength to every one of us. Peter discovered that it's a journey that we're going through. It's a maturing that we're going through. It's a growth. It's not a destination. It's something that we grow and get to. When you go on a journey, you might have a flat tire along the way. You might run out of gas on your journey. Okay? But it's plodding on, picking up and going on. You know, if we have a flat, we get out and fix it. And we go wash our hands and go on. We don't just stop and say, I'm through. I've had it. God, you deserted me. Okay? God doesn't work that way. God is the same God with your flat that he was when you were sailing along with your hair in the wind. And God wants to be there. That's why, Dan, I appreciate so much the songs, because the blessed assurance, give me the Bible. I mean, right on to what this is here. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. As we grow, we'll know more. And we'll be able to trust more. The knowledge of God, it differs from an awareness of God. One is barren, one's fruitful. You see, the children of Israel, most of them had a knowledge of God. Most all of them did. But only a few had, or excuse me, most all of them had the awareness. Only a few had the knowledge, really knew God. The Israelites were aware of God, but only a few knew him. Peter wanted us to be sure in 2 Peter 1, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Again, this isn't knowledge about him, like, you know, what color robe was he wearing when he, you know, turned the water to wine? You know, those aren't facts and statistics that we're talking about here. We're talking about really getting to know him. If he is the God, the Son of God that was the creator, the one who called things into being, why am I complaining about the fact that I got a heart malady? If it's my time to go, I'm going. There's nothing stopping it. Four codes. I went up and talked to the EMTs after I got out and recovered. And they said that after they, Falk Ambulance took me on a high-speed transfer to St. Joe's or Tacoma General, Dr. Lev, my cardiologist, told the EMTs, he's not going to make it. I'm sorry. God had other plans, Dr. Lev. That's exactly what I told him when I went to see him, by the way. You know, God has other plans. So what about you? You know, I'm sure that your little speed bumps haven't been, and I hope, haven't been like a heart attack or stage 4 cancer or a cancer that just is, keeps getting, it's not a matter of one time and you're through. It just keeps, you keep dealing with it. But you know, it's the same God. Note the personal references in these passages. And Paul said the same thing in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who's able to do, get this. I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. Every word, immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. Is there any power stronger than our God's? Really? He can do whatever. Note the personal reference in 2 Peter 1:3. It's through our knowledge of him, not the teacher, not the preachers, not your parents, not your spouses, not the collective church. When the roll is called up yonder at the pearly gate, it's not going to be a picture of, okay, all you Sumner Church of Christ people right over here. You all were right on the money, blah, 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 blah. It isn't going to be that way. It isn't going to be, it's going to be you that gets called to task, and yours alone. 2 Peter 1:3 says, it's through our knowledge of him who called us, okay? Calls us through the gospel. So the question is, and here's another stop along the way, will you answer his call? Okay? There's more rewards for our faith through knowledge. Found in 2 Peter chapter 1, the next verse, verse 4. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Again, look at the adjectives. And I just, through them, he's giving you some gifts. Very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I want you to consider the excitement of winning the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. Huh? Would you like that? $5,000 a week for life, and you can pass it on? Really excited? How about winning the Super Bowl? How about winning a college BCS title? How about your first child or your wedding and honeymoon? Want to talk about getting excited? Woohoo! Okay? How about the excitement of participating in the divine nature of God? Those things pale to this. How about the excitement of being able to say, I escaped the corruption of the world? Okay? God promised it. So let's look at this verse. 2 Peter 1:4. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, through these promises, you can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Okay, so let's look at these verses. Okay, now here's the test. So I hope you're all ready. Okay, you got your pens out? Because these are going to be fast. How many times is the word or idea of knowledge referred to in this passage? Note each use or occurrence of knowledge and write out what its significance is in that use. How is each occurrence of knowledge related to other thoughts in the verse or chapter? What is God saying to you specifically and individually about knowledge in each use of that word? What is the importance of, how you doing, by the way? What is the importance or significance of knowledge in each instance? Is God's power limited in his giving us everything we need for life and godliness? Now, in verse 4 specifically, what are the these? Who gets these promises? What does the so that mean? What are the